Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Satchidananda.
We are awakening, awakening, awakening.
We are indeed awakening. Yes, yes, yes. That's Miten. That's from his CD, and his wife joins him on that and some of the other tracks. Miten and Deva Pramal. You can find out more about them by going to their website, devapramalmiten.com, or just go to iTunes, Miten, M-I-T-E-N. You can find out more about their work. Opening it up to space for us, that we awake and we're waking up. We're remembering who and what we are. We are saying yes to life and willing to grow deeper as we go higher in consciousness. Yeah, breathe that in. Take it in. And breathe it out. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. Good morning. Good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for tuning into Life Conversations Radio and remembering that you've got to tune into yourself first, because when you tune into yourself first, you're receptive to what life has for you. We are the place where we inspire change, we activate change, and when you change with the change, when you embrace the change, when you grow with the change, ooh, you make a mighty difference. Because sometimes people want change, but they want to stay the same. I never do that. I just know people like that. Thank you for tuning in. Yes, it's that time again for Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and yours truly. I am excited. I am super, super excited. I love learning. I love teaching. I'm a student and a teacher. So, I'm about to learn today. I'm so excited. I cannot hide it. Okay. Behave yourself. Yes, Ancestral Blueprints is every last Wednesday of the month. You know, this is your opportunity to experience yourself differently, experience life differently. The topic, the theme for today is we're getting ready to meet. I don't know if it's a two man or a man and a woman, but it could be whatever you want. We're getting ready to meet Bob and Bart. Ooh, they look like they got something going on. They want to create a new generation. I will tell you more about that. In the meantime, I want to welcome all of you that are listening. Those of you listening on the phone line, thank you. Thank you for tuning in, saying yes to life. Those of you listening online, thank you. Thank you for supporting Life Conversations Radio. And of course, we know you share the shows with your family, with your friends on social media. So if you forgot, because you do it all the time, if you forgot, I just want to remind you, go ahead and do it right now. I won't mind. I won't even be upset that you're not focusing on me 100%. So go ahead and share the show. Oh, Lord, I'm a mess. And I love it too. I love being a mess. I can get the message when I hang with my mess. 347-426-3346 is the number. 347-426-3346 is the number to call in to share your thoughts. Maybe you want a deeper understanding of today's topic. Maybe you've experienced, of course, once you start listening, you've experienced what we're talking about. And you just want to share how it worked for you. Maybe you've met Bob. Maybe you met Bart and how it transformed your life. You know, I'm going to play with that. I will play with that. I just love it. But yes, 347-426-3346 is the number. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press one on your keypad. And I want to take this time to say thank you and welcome those of you listening on the archive. And thank you for listening right now, because whenever you listen, it's right now. Speaking of right now, I think it's almost that time to bring on my co-host. And let's see, I think that's it. Somehow I feel like I'm supposed to say something, but she will remind me. Lisa Iverson is in the house. Hello, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Ade. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. And I'm really feeling inspired by your saying what you just said about mess and message. I'm sure we'll come back to that because that combination is in all of us. So thank you for that. And turn it back to you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being here. And we have a special guest. I feel like we got a treat. You know, I feel like a little kid who went to school and it's kind of like the end of school term and they have the special event. And we said, we got somebody coming to visit us today. So I feel like I got a treat. But we'll tell you more about that. I'm just giddy. I wasn't like this before the show. I don't know what happened. I think I woke up. That's what happens. I woke up. I'm alive. You are listening to Life Conversations Radio. Actually, you listen to Ancestral Blueprints on lifeconversationsradio.com. And let's see. I think it's time. Let me tell you something. I am going to read the description and then read the bio for Dr. K, so that you listeners, you know Lisa Iverson. Lisa Iverson is she's one of the hosts on Life Conversations Radio. She's the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. And her website address is, ancestralblueprints.com. You can find out more about Lisa's work. And, you know, you listen to her every month. She has a way of just downloading wisdom in a way that is so simple that makes me go, duh, I knew that. I knew that. And we have Dr. Kate Regan. Is it Reagan or Regan? I should double check that. Okay, well, I'm a mess. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Lisa, you still live? Yeah, help me out. Is it Reagan or Regan? I didn't check that earlier.
Kate Regan.
Mm-hmm. Regan. Okay, thank you. Whew. I just pretend she didn't hear me do that. Just don't say anything when you come on. You didn't hear me. I usually check all of that before the show. Now, I want to read the description, and then I read the bio. So today's theme, today's topic is ancestral blueprints. Bob, which means belonging, order, and balance. And then there's BART, B-A-R-T, boundaries, authority, roles, and task. Now, if you're a regular listener to Ancestral Blueprints, you're like, where are they going with this? Well, we're going somewhere, so just stay with us. Put your seatbelt on. Don't worry if we're there yet. We will get there. So Bob and BART are foundational principles operated in family and organizational systems. Join us in learning about the interplay of Bob and BART, how to receive power from family and ancestry in order to work with vitality and clear direction, and how your capacity for leadership is linked with belonging in your ancestral blueprints. Whew. Let's breathe that in before I read the bio. And I'll see if I can get through without cracking up every time I say Bob and BART. Like, they must be part of Sesame Street. That's what I get in my head. All right, now let me read the bio of Dr. Regan. It's over here. Here we go. Kate Regan, she's the founder and president of Kairos Consulting Group. She holds a doctorate in organizational psychology from the Wright Institute in Berkeley, California. She holds additional degrees in religion, art, and education from Fordham University in New York and the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. There's so much more that I can read, but I want to read this part about her bio. Having held a variety of management positions as well as external consulting contracts, Dr. Regan has the ability to understand the internal pressures and politics of organizations, as well the value of an outside perspective. That helps. Dr. Regan's work has been focused in three areas: understanding the systemic nature of organizations and how to work with an organization's culture when embarking on a large-scale change, working with executives and leadership team to design and develop strategies for implementing change, and designing and delivering educational programs to develop leadership and communication skills at all levels of organization. Whew, do we need that? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, help us welcome our friend. She's our friend now. She's our guest, but she's our friend, Dr. Kate Regan. Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So where do we start? I'm going to actually throw it to Lisa. Lisa, you've heard the description. And if you want to, you know, kind of like, I've been watching basketball. So if I throw it to you, you feel like to throwing it to Kate, do that too. So I'm going to throw it to you, whatever's bubbling up for you. And if you want to throw it to Kate, yeah, feel free. We're family.
That sounds great. Thank you. I'm very happy that you're here today, Kate, and looking forward to our conversation with Ade, letting people know about our work and letting people know about Bob and Bart. And my thought is that maybe we could just speak a little bit about how we came to just our relationship a little bit, just a few minutes, mm-hmm. about how we came to our work together. How does that sound to you?
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. I had the good fortune about 4 years ago now of meeting Kate. For new and old listeners, maybe it's good to say a little bit about the family constellation approach that I work with a lot in my work. That's where it's a group approach that helps us see and uncover the blueprint of our ancestry that lives inside of us, that we live in, that helps us to see how deeply connected we are with the generations that come before us and the ones that come after us. And so I had the good fortune about 4 years ago of meeting Kate when I was leading a constellation workshop. And Kate also has a background in this work. Do you want to say a little bit about that, Kate?
Sure. I became very interested in constellation work at a conference in Germany and decided to train as a facilitator in constellation.
Kate, are you able to turn on your volume a little bit because you sound a little bit low?
Or maybe how's that? Is that better?
Oh, yes, much better. Yes, I can feel you now.
Okay. Yes, so I became interested in constellation work and began to train as a constellation facilitator with Francesca Mason Boring and wanted to explore other facilitators and styles and methods of working in the constellation field. And so I attended a workshop with Lisa in Canada, and we had to ride the ferry back home together since we were both from the U.S., and that's what began the conversation.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. I mean, when you say that, it's just great. I'm just immediately transported to the ferry ride, and it's just been one big, long conversation ever since. And it's just been so great. And I want to invite you, Kate, to say, just go with your instinct, what you want to say about your background previous to learning in the constellation field. I have just benefited so much from learning every conversation with you from the background that you have in the group relations field and in other parts of your work life. Do you want to just say a little bit about that to let people know about your background?
Sure. So let me just tell you a story about how I got involved in group relations. It was kind of by accident. I was doing a master's degree at Fordham in religion, and this was required as part of our degree in religious education, that we attend a four-day residential workshop in group relations. It was being directed by a Jesuit priest. And when everyone got out of this thing, they felt as if they had stuck their finger in a light socket. Their worlds had been turned upside down. They'd had so many insights into their life, their family, into organizations, that we all kind of looked at this director and said, why did you have all of us attend this thing? It seems like after people attend this, they've kind of decided, they've rethought their career in the Catholic Church. And he said, well, I thought it was really important that you understand the difference between your faith and an organization, because they're not the same. Well, that was kind of life-stopping. but I was so intrigued by this understanding of groups, how groups work, that there could possibly be a group conscious or unconscious, and how that worked together and how it played out in throughout all of history, in tribes, in civilizations, in families, in organizations, that I just couldn't stop studying it. And I went on to, I never had any thought that I would do doctoral work, but I was so intrigued by this that I decided I needed to go study psychology, group psychology, and decide to work with organizations instead of working in the church.
Mm-hmm. So, and how many, how many years ago was that? 30-some years ago?
35. Almost 35.
Wow. So that's a chunk of time that you have been, you know, learning, growing, and teaching in that field.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes,
yeah. And can you say a little bit about group relations for those of us, for people who don't know what that phrase means or what that work is? Can you explain what that is?
Yes. So this four-day thing that we went to in New York was based on a model of, it's called Tavistock Group Relations. It's Group Relations. It was developed at the Tavistock Institute in London. The primary theoretician that developed this understanding is named Wilfred Bion. He was working at the Tavistock Institute with veterans at the time he began to understand this. He was working with groups. He was a psychiatrist. And he began to notice that there seemed to be three types of attitudes, I guess. We call them basic assumptions that would develop in the group towards the person in authority. And those three basic assumptions were dependency, fight, flight, and pairing. And he was very connected to the work of Melanie Klein and had been a student of her work. And that theory, in combination with his observations, doing his work at the Tavistock Institute, is what evolved into this understanding of group relations. And so these conferences or labs are a way of helping people become more conscious of who they are and how they're functioning in groups in relationship to authority. And so that methodology was brought to this country by A.K. Rice. And so the A.K. Rice Institute here in this country continues to sponsor those types of conferences or labs so that people can do that type of study. And that's what I was attending in New York, which is what got me into this field.
You said the basic assumptions. You said dependency, fight, flight. And what's the third one?
The third one is pairing.
Pairing, okay.
And you see pairing.
Go ahead.
You see pairing all the time when you attend meetings. Mm-hmm. And as you're sitting in the meeting, two people across the room will start to talk, and everyone else in the room will start to fall asleep. And it happens regularly, and typically they lean back, the people listening lean back in their chairs and kind of cross their arms and get a sleepy look because they're hoping that these two people will produce some solution, some brilliant insight, some form of a savior that will solve all their problems. And that's what pairing is in a group.
Mm. Let's talk about dependency in a group. What does that look like?
Okay. dependency, you see this in a group all the time. Probably the best example is when you're at work and you know that everybody that's been interviewed to be on this team is brilliant, competent, experienced, and all of a sudden they start asking questions as if they've never heard of some of the things that the director is talking about. It's as if they have no education, no experience, know nothing about this topic, and you wonder how exactly was it that they got hired here. They have fallen. They have fallen into what we would call a dependency mode with this authority figure.
Wow, interesting. And the fight flight part?
Fight flight is what you'll see is the director, who's ever in charge of this group or has been authorized to lead it, is giving some direction, and you'll see two versions of this. One is that people may start joking and laughing hysterically, and they're talking about things outside the room. They're not in the room thinking about the task in front of them. They've escaped the room. That's called flight. Or they decide this is the stupidest idea they've ever heard, and they begin to fight with the leader. And that's the fight version of fight flight. But there's something in this idea or this task that they're being asked to do that is raising the anxiety, and the form that it takes in the group is either they flee through joking or memories or telling old stories about we tried this in the past and it never worked, et cetera, et cetera, or they take the leader on and they start to have a fight with that person or a fight in the group about why this isn't going to work.
Why this is not going to work. I know. That's very common.
Yes. And there's a fourth type. There's a fourth type of group that Beyond recognized, but it didn't show up very often. And it's called a work group. And where it's actually the...
Is that a work group?
Actually, yes, it's a work group. And the group is actually functioning smoothly. They're partnering with each other. They're partnering with a leader in a way that really moves the task forward. These other things, the basic assumption groups, usually cause the task to be fall in a ditch, get stuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Lisa, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I just really want to, I appreciate you describing this field, Kate, again, and just find that there is a lot in it. Like, it's just been a few minutes that you've been talking, but there's just a lot in it. And so, correct me if I'm wrong, but part of where all that you just said came from was developed out of the study of groups, just the experiential nature of groups that the people in these respective fields of learning, the group relations field, the people at the Tavistock Institute, they just studied groups over and over and over and over again. And so that, in combination with a field of study that existed previous to just watching groups, that's where the information that you're talking about came from. So it's not like all theory. It comes out of the observation and the experiential nature of being in groups over and over and over again.
Mm. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. So there's something really kind of, there's something kind of universal. There's something really about our human nature that wants to be made visible in this field that you're talking about.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I one of the pleasures of this conversation is that, Ade, this is the first opportunity that you've had to hear about and learn a little bit about Kate's field that she's been steeped in for many years. And I just want to, I want to just check with you a little bit, just if there's anything in particular you notice as you hear about it.
Well, I was, you know, one of the things that I appreciate is how you, what you said about this is, this all came out of group studies, studying groups and how people show up in group or don't show up or hang out or whatever they want to do, hide. And so when I think of the basic assumptions of the dependency, fight and flight and peering, I've seen that in many situations. I've seen the, yeah. I've been in meetings when people are debating with a leader, or sometimes there's a guest that comes in to do a talk, and the whole thing about how we know this is not going to work, even though we haven't tried it, that for me resonates. It actually took me back to one of the meetings one time in England, and we're sitting in the meeting. The director of, we were working with a, it was a, it's actually, it was an American concept organization that was being introduced in England called Youth Advocate Program. So we work with young people, young offenders. And I was new at the job, maybe a few months. And we had our meeting. And the director was talking about what needs to be done, some things, the incidents that happened over the week that was addressed. And I'm listening, I'm thinking, yep. And then when the rest of my colleagues were responding or asking questions, they were saying things that I'm thinking, really? What is going on here? I mean, they just didn't even, the things they were saying didn't make any sense to me. And I'm not even saying from a judgmental perspective. It was just, I mean, I felt like an outsider because I was new. And even though I was born in England, I've been in America, so coming back, they hear the slight American accent. Americans don't hear it, but the British do. But anyway, that's a different conversation. So they looked at me as this different one, the one who don't understand it. And most of the people, they kind of are street smart. I didn't grow up in that environment. So as I'm listening to them challenge the director or maybe even give suggestion, I was just completely confused. And I said, okay, I'm going to be quiet for a minute. I'm just going to keep listening. I'm new at this. And then I couldn't take it anymore. I started talking and saying, but I don't understand. If A is the problem and we're just told how to solve it, why can't we just look at C and say, okay, how does it work for us? And no matter what I said, I really did feel like they ganged up on me. You don't understand. You this and that. And it was the females in the group that were speaking for me. They said, what he's saying is, I felt a little bit offended by that. I know what I'm saying. What he's saying is, and at the end, I left the room feeling like, what? Which world did I just step into? And these people have been doing the work longer before me. They seem to be the one that people reach out to. So that brought up that experience for me where I actually felt like an outsider. And the other thing is, as you were talking and Lisa was sharing as well, Kate, when we think of a group or when we go to work or where a collective people gather together, sometimes easy to just say those group of people or the people I work with, they don't understand, I don't get them, I just work and get my paycheck and leave. But we forget that it's the individuals that make up the group. So, and now I can see, and I'm looking forward to see how our ancestries play a role in this group dynamic, because I don't think I've actually thought of it that way. How long have we been doing shows? We've been doing Family Constellations, Ancestral Blueprints since 2008. Yeah, but I don't always look at it as how that show up at work, to some extent, but not this deep. So you really have my attention. So that's what's coming up for me, Lisa.
That's great. That's great. And it really does naturally lead into the development of Bob and Bart. And so,
cannot hear that without laughing.
I know, and I can see why you think of Sesame Street. It's because of Bert and Ernie. That's why you're thinking of Sesame Street.
That's it.
Just that we're clear going forward that Bob and Bart are not the same as Bert and Ernie. Though I have great affection for Bert and Ernie, you know. Yes.
Oh, Lord, Bob and Bart.
Okay. Really, as a mother, you know, Kate and I are both have children, and so I hold them in my heart quite.
Okay, good. So I don't feel too silly now. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. So how about if I just speak a little bit about Bob, and then Kate, if you want to speak about Bart, and then I think it's great for you to talk about how the phrase Bob and Bart came to your brain. Does that sound okay?
Yes, that's great. And remind me if I forget, I want to make a link to a dog story about how Bob and Bart are related and how you see them at the same time.
Yeah, that's great. So how about if we talk about this and then we come back to that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, perfect.
We give some context here. Okay, so Bob, that acronym stands for belonging, order, and balance. So belonging, order, and balance are, it's the shorthand for the orders of love that are articulated from Bert Hellinger, who developed the family constellation approach. So Bert Hellinger is a German man in his early 90s who 30 years ago developed family constellations, systemic constellations on the shoulders, on the foundation of other approaches that came before him, and ultimately on the foundation of indigenous wisdom that's in all of us. And orders of love refers to principles that are operating in the soul of the family that have to do with how life and energy and love flow from one generation to the next. And so belonging is a principle. It's an order of love that just, it states very simply, everybody in the family has a place of belonging. That this includes people and beings that are our linear mind might not typically consider to have a place of belonging. So, for example, little baby beings who don't come into the world, so abortions and miscarriages, they have a place of belonging in the family soul. Former partners of ourselves, of our parents, our grandparents, they have a place of belonging, fiancé. Through the experience that happens in war, through the bonding that happens in an experience of war, everybody involved in those conflicts have a place of belonging. Home countries, through the experience of immigration, chosen or forced, those home countries have a place of belonging. So this is a limited example of the kind of people and the places that have a place of belonging in the family soul. There's an order. According to time, who comes into the family system when? So, for example, grandparents come in before parents, come in before children. It's a very clear chronological order that helps us see that, you know, children don't come into the world before grandparents do. There are no children without grandparents. So we've, particularly in the States, we've lost connection with this kind of a simple fundamental wisdom that is really promoting of life, that this disconnection from that wisdom about order of time creates a fair bit of confusion and suffering to have lost that wisdom. There's an order of time according to sibling sets, first, second, third sibling. According to marriages, first, second, third, husband or wife, this kind of a thing. So order of time is really important to acknowledge and honor, and it gives us a strength when we stand in a place of clarity of belonging in that way. And then balance. So Bob is belonging and order and balance. So families are a natural system. Families are a part of nature. Families are nature, and they are driven toward balance. So what happens earlier in the generations, in the great-grandparent generation, if it goes unacknowledged in some way, there's a drive in the larger map of the family system, there's a drive for balance. And so a later generation will unknowingly, invisibly, out of blind love, try to take something on or live something out that belongs to an earlier member, to an earlier part of the generations. So, for example, if there was a deep suffering of some kind, you know, ancestors who lived through, who survived some kind of trauma. Maybe it was through the Holocaust, maybe it was through slavery, maybe it was through an immigration experience, maybe it was through a flu epidemic. Some lived, some died. But sometimes these kind of losses and traumas create, it gets a bit frozen, so that later descendants have a challenge to live with a kind of a freedom without guilt because of this earlier suffering. And so there can be a drive to, you know, the imbalance. Children, descendants try to balance out earlier suffering by taking on the suffering that doesn't belong to them. So the seeing the family system being one that is part of nature, that wants truth made visible, and that the awake love way to come into balance is to really see how the people who came before us are the best ones to carry what belongs to them, and to recognize their place of belonging is a way to truly live in a place of balance and to honor everybody's place in the family system. So that's a very shorthand, concise Reader's Digest version of Bob.
And yeah.
Kate's going to invite you to say...
Before Kate tells us about Bob, I wanted to actually... especially when you talk about the awake love, knowing that, well, let me put it this way. Let me just say what's going on in my head. It's before I met you, Lisa, I didn't know anything about the blind love. I didn't know anything about family constellations. You introduced me to it. And I've since then learned so much about it, about myself and how we interact with one another. And knowing that, for lack of a better way of describing it, of saying how blind love show up in family and how it influences our interaction with others. And this is not a conversation that we hear on a day-to-day basis. Are there other ways that cause us to wake up, or is what we're experiencing now at work, in relationship, a symptom or a reflection, they're saying, wake up, look at the order of life, you're out of balance. You know, we often talk about our parents' past life onto us. This is not a conversation. I know there are many ways, and I'm really working with what I'm trying to download here. There are many ways that we look at how life is passed onto us. In the Western world, and you talk about immigration, everything you talked about, the things that get passed onto us. Are there other ways, if we don't know about family constellations, ancestral blueprints, that we can access the wisdom of awake love? And I wanted to ask that just to kind of, just because that was happening for me when you were talking about the belonging, order, and balance.
Were you going to say something, Kate?
I was going to say something because something struck me when you were giving that explanation, which was really wonderful. And mm-hmm. I remember it took me a long time in studying constellations. And this speaks to your question, Adad, as well, which is that mm-hmm. the precursor of the B, the last B for balance, and Lisa mm-hmm. talks about this all over her website, is that mm-hmm. the order of things is that parents give and children receive.
Right.
Now, that is a mouthful. That little tiny sentence is huge because
right.
we get confused and we think that because of what my parents have suffered or the struggle that they had in their relationship or the children that they lost, I should help them out.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a child, should take away their pain. And that's not the order of things. So in answer to your question, the first thought that came to mind about this awake love is the simplicity of gratitude for what's been given to us is
the best pathway forward that I know, because the beginning of balance is that parents give and children receive. And as a child, I'm free to go on and live my life. And if I remember to have gratitude for what's been given to me, I can take the next step.
Mm. Absolutely. So yes. Beautifully. This, what I said as a shorthand of Bob, this, what you're saying about parents giving and children receiving, it just highlights this impossible way that, you know, in terms of balance between parents and children can never, they don't have to, and it's not possible to pay their parents back for passing life to them. There's a kind of a feeling of an invisible debt that gets created in that experience of receiving life, because we wouldn't exist without our parents. The gift is so big. It's bigger than we can wrap our minds around. So there's commonly a sense of, getting into an argument or a rejection with parents out of how big that gift is. We think that those fights are about, were my parents good enough? Or what kind of parents were they? That it's about the action of parenting. But underneath that, it has to do with the gift is the biggest one anybody could ever give us. And no two other people on the planet could have given it to us. And so the gratitude that you're highlighting is the best possible way to bring balance to the enormity of that gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how that all gets activated, its relationship with our work lives, I want to really give, I'm taking a peek at the clock, and I want to give a chance for you to speak about the BART field, if that's okay next.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. So BART stands for, B stands for boundaries, and the A is authority, and the R is roles, and the T is tasks. Now, the difference between a Bob system and a BART system is that a BART system is an open system. There's a boundary in an organization, and you might belong, and you might not, if you haven't joined that organization. Or you can get fired and kicked out. That's not the case in a family. So let me just keep moving through these. So these are very distinct systems with very different rules in the system. And a boundary says it's an open system. I might belong and I might not belong, or my belonging might come to an end. So it's what's really more accurate about a BART system is that you join it. You don't belong to it. You join it and you may leave it. That's a cleaner language. Authority, the A stands for authority. Now, this isn't unlike what you see in Bob, which is the O for order. But in an organizational system, somebody is authorized to lead a task. And the next day, that authority may be reassigned. So it's not permanent. In a family, that order is permanent. You will never stop being the youngest child in your family unless someone else is born and there's another younger one. Mm-hmm. But that's not going to change. The father isn't going to change. The mother isn't going to change. But in an organization, that can change on a dime. And you can see people get very insulted because their job description changed and their authorization changed, and now they feel like they've been demoted, for instance, as if that were a permanent position. That is not a permanent position, and if they've gotten confused and really upset by that, they might look at the fact that they're actually in a Bob system in their head instead of an organizational BART system.
Mm.
So the R stands for role, and we can take up many roles.
you know, and those can change, just like authorization can change from a day-to-day basis. But your role as the oldest boy in the family, that's not going to ever change. So we get confused, we get upset, we get attached to these various roles as if they are permanent family roles, and then we know we're in the wrong system in our head.
Mm.
So task, the T, is the thing, in my mind, that will keep you really focused on the fact that you're in an organizational system. If you stay focused, like you lash yourself to the mast in a storm when you're on a ship, if you lash yourself to the mast of the task in an organization, you will stay clear about which system you're in.
Hmm.
So this thing that you were talking about earlier, Dodd, reminded me of this story. This, my first experience when I did one of these group relations conferences, I realized that we take up roles on behalf of the group. So in this particular lab, a man was directing. And I found that I would always be the one taking the lead, the fight lead. I would always be in a fight with this man. And I began to notice after a few of these episodes that every time I did this, everyone else in the group sat back and they just observed. Then if they confessed, they would say, oh yeah, I was really mad at him too, but you were so much more articulate, Kate. I just let you do the fighting for me. And I finally realized that I was saying things were starting to come out of my mouth that were really angry that wasn't even attached to. And I realized I'd taken up a role on behalf of the group to be angry at the male authority figure. And I discovered that it's what in the group relations work we call a valency. I had a valency, a habit.
You said valency?
A valency, yes.
A
I have
valency.
A habit.
How do you spell that?
I forget. V-A-L. sound it out. I need
okay.
a spell checker.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, V-A-L-E-N-C-Y. Valency. I've never heard that word
there
before.
You
okay.
Valency. So I
sound
had
it out.
A habit. Yep. Mm-hmm. I had a habit or a pattern of always being angry at the male leader. And it finally dawned on me that the group could use me for that because it was just such a habit when I got into groups. And I recognized that it came from my family. I was always in a fight with my dad.
Mm.
Always. I was always in a fight with my dad. And I did it on behalf of the whole family. So for me to move forward in my work life, I realized that I was going to have to give up this family pattern in the work world because otherwise I would always be in a fight with mm-hmm. the man who was in charge.
Mm.
It was very useful to my career to give up that habit.
Mm.
So that's how Bob and Bart overlap and how it can be really useful to notice which system you're in.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in your work system and you're operating as if you were in your family system, you will swear that this person is an inept, horrible leader. And actually, they just look like your dad, or they just look like your mother, or they just look like your baby sister. And you can't see who they are or hear who they are or hear how brilliant their ideas might be because you're in a family pattern that has made you go deaf, dumb, and blind.
Wow. Go ahead.
There's another, there are a lot of different directions to go in. But as you describe, Bart, I'm aware of, you know, as you talk about, you know, your mom's always your mom, your dad's always your dad. What's also true is that the configuration of what family is for many families is quite complex. So we have our biological parents, but we often have step parents or adoptive parents. There are blended families. So that in a work context, that is often changing. Our workplaces are changing, maybe more than ever, at quite a rapid pace. Mm-hmm. So there can be a way that when a person's job is changing, or companies are blending and merging, and people are getting hired and fired, and the teams are changing a lot, that what can be happening is it's triggering the unconscious field of family life, where there have been marriages and divorces and affairs and, stepchildren and half-children. And so the not knowing where one stands and belongs as a sibling is quite common, quite common. And so the kind of disorientation and confusion and challenge to be present in one's full self in work can be also, those kinds of, just the changing nature of family and the confusion about, but it's ultimately confusion about who belongs in the family field. So that sense of belonging, there's a lot in that landscape. We could say, everybody belongs in the family, but the reality is a lot of people don't have a felt experience of that. Mm-hmm. In their family.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's the disconnect between the felt experience, between the lived experience, and then the landscape of truth in the soul is what the, in the constellation method, that method is a way that we can quite immediately access through that experiential field, a real clarity about that we can, so that, the combination of the Bob and Bart worlds that Kate and I are collaborating with is a way to, in an embodied way, experience greater clarity in the family field so that everybody can function more vitally and clearly in their work lives. Because the reality is, Kate's pointing out the temporary nature of organizations, that's not widely acknowledged. There's a lot of confusion just about that.
And sometimes it's often, I find that it's almost like just based on what you're talking about, how I see it, it's almost like we leave the Bob out of it and just really want to focus on the Bart without really even understanding that. It's like, well, you got to have your boundaries and you got to respect authority. You got to know where you belong. It's your role. And, that's just it. That's your task. Get it done. That's it. We don't care about what happened at home or who your brother. We don't want to hear that. People say corporate America, you can't share vulnerability. You can't share yourself. And it's a new paradigm. And Tracy, she just tuned in about 5 minutes ago or so. She's listening. She posted on Facebook. She said, "Whoa, does that sound familiar?" She said, "I did the same thing fighting with my father and continue to confront male authority figures." Whoa, good to recognize this pattern.
Yeah. I just want to take a minute and give credit here where credit is due. BART, the acronym BART, was developed by Zachary Green and Renee Mollenkamp. And that article in which they describe BART is on our website, is on the Bob and Bart website. You can access that article. Because when we applied this idea of the group relations and the basic assumptions to organizations, we always began to talk about these boundaries, authority, role, and task in the work. And finally, it was articulated by Zachary Green and Renee Mollenkamp. So I refer you to that article if you want to look into this in greater depth, other than this, you know, overview we're giving you today.
Sure. It's what you give. I mean, I know for me, as I'm taking it, it's like, I feel like this show always does that for me, slowing things down, because this is new to me. So I'm fascinated by the concept. And, you know, when you talk about always fighting with a male leader, I don't know if mine was actually fighting, maybe it's a different way of fighting, but I find that when I'm in a group, well, when I was working out there, when I wasn't working for myself, I tend to be the spokesperson. I don't go in there trying to be the voice. I just go in there to participate. And before you know it, I'm the one asking questions, trying to get clarity. Or if something seems crazy, I'm the one to point it out. I guess that's fighting. You point it out. And then at the end, my coworkers will come. Yeah, I'm glad you spoke up. I felt that way. And I'm thinking, don't talk to me. You should have said that while we're in the meeting, not while I'm here feeling all alone, like I'm the troublemaker. So when you said that, I was just laughing over it, like, oh my God, I'm always the one, well, most times anyway, they want to bring up a conversation, a challenge, and say, no, wait a minute, but how does this work? Well, I don't think that can work. Well, let's see. You know, I'm the thinking head. And I didn't mind what used to piss me off, because really this is like when people come to me later on, say, yeah, I felt the same way too. It's like, what? No, you should have said something. So,
well, sometimes it's interesting what you're saying. Sometimes, you know, I know a family where it's the youngest one in the family who's always raising those questions, because everybody else is trying to, you know, kind of keep the train on the track, but the youngest in this particular family that I'm thinking about is always the one who will finally ask the questions or say, well, wow, did you see that? And that's often the role of, like, the youngest. So, you know, as you begin to explore your family and your family patterns, you begin to see, oh, is this a pattern that I'm repeating for my family in the organization, and do I want to do that? Or do I want to change it? But if you know where it comes from, you can think clearly about it.
Yes, yes. Well, there's four of us. I'm the third. And then I have, well, I had an older brother, an older sister, myself, and then a younger sister. And I'm usually the talking head for the family. My father's nickname for me was a parrot. And they always come to me when something's going on, like, I'm the one they come to say, well, what do you think about it? But yes, I'm the one that's really on guard. Like, hey, wait a minute. It's time to take a break. Yeah, on that note, we're definitely going to take a break. Woo, Lord.
Okay.
Just want to add before we take a break. Woo, good Lord. All right, we're going to drink some water too. Tracy said, thank you, Ade. There is another pattern of this male figures that I have been dealing with in their pattern from their early days too. She said, very interesting, and shed some light on how I can have more understanding of myself and others with more compassion. Well, yeah, thank you, Tracy, for sharing that. People always say, if I can just make a difference in one person's life, I will be happy. I'll speak on behalf of Lisa and Kate. We are happy already. So thank you, Tracy, for sharing that. We appreciate that. We are going to take a break. We'll come back and find out what happens when Bob and Bart gets together. What kind of children do they give birth to? We'll find out. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints on Life Conversations Radio, and we're talking about how your role in your family will influence, does influence how you are in a group at work. So if you're mad at your supervisor, guess what? You might want to look again. And here's the advice I'm going to leave you with. We're going to take a break and come back. So in the meantime, think about this. It's simply about being the change you want to see. We'll be right back. Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today, and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on Life Conversations Radio.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mombasa Sofira, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people. So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference. You know, we need each other. And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ada, yours truly. And our special guest is Kate Regan. She is the founder and president of, is it Kairos? Or is it Kairos? Yeah. Kairos. Okay, Kairos. Got it right. And what's your website address? People want to find out about you.
KairosConsultingGroup.com.
Okay. All so that's Kate. One word, K-A-I-R-O-S, consultinggroup.com. You can find out more about Kate's work. And Lisa Iverson is a co-host. Her website address is ancestralblueprints.com. There's another comment by Tracy. She said, you are so sweet, Ade. You and your guest came into my life at the right time. She said, you have truly made a difference and helped me diffuse some of the energies today. So I guess she's been moving through some stuff and she tuned in at the right time. Now she is feeling free. Thank you, Tracy, for that feedback. We appreciate you. We are talking about BOB, which is an acronym for belonging, order, and balance, and BART, B-A-R-T, boundaries, authority, role, and task, and how
who we are, how we are, our family, soul, how that show up in a group. Maybe we're operating from a place of blind love or awakened love. Sometimes we don't know because we're blind. We just need someone to wake us up. And Lisa is here. Kate is here. And Lisa, I'm just going to throw it. I'm going to throw it to you again. And because I can feel you. There's something you want to say.
Yeah. Thank you for being tuned in there. Yes, there is. I wanted to, from something you said right before the break, you said that, you know, there can be a tendency for people to want to focus more basically in the workplace and on organizations than in the Bob world, than in the family world. Mm. And that is exactly what has, that same observation is what led Kate and I to develop this work together, seeing that exact thing and seeing how, particularly in the U.S., given the history that we have as a country that is filled with a history that has to do with disconnection from family. You've mentioned my book earlier in the program, and so much of the work that I do has to do with seeing how there are just these histories of circumstances of disconnect from family that makes us have a fair bit of imbalance in life in this country, where we would much rather focus on work than on family. But when we do so, the effect of that, there's an effect, and there's there's quite a lot. There's quite a large effect from looking to the workplace, looking to organizational life through a lens that is filled with disconnection from family. So the work that Kate and I are developing, maybe we could talk a little bit about that next. Anything else you want to say, Kate, in response to what I'm saying?
Well, it just reminded me that, you know, when folks came to this country, other than the people who are already here, they actually came as companies. The colonies were, in many cases, required to produce an income and send it back to England. So we have a deep, deep history of being shaped into organizations rather than being allowed to be families.
Hmm.
A thought.
Yes. You're speaking of our European ancestors.
Yes, our European ancestors, right.
Our European ancestors. And then another aspect of that web is our African ancestors who came here not by choice, but through enslavement, and how without them, the profits that were made through the institution of slavery financing the country, the way in which those histories are woven into our work lives and companies and organizations. Wall Street was built on slavery. And so these kinds of histories are also at play. And then, of course, our Native ancestors who were here before European and African ones came here by choice, by force. The family webs of the tribal communities, that landscape, it's really present as well. And so it's quite a rich, complex history that continuing to express itself in ways that there's unfolding consciousness about. I would say it's very much in process.
As I listen to both of you, I get clearer why
it's sometimes it seems like it's easier to just focus on Bart, you know, the work, the external thing, because Bob brings a lot of history, a lot of emotions, a lot of stuff that we want to ignore. Sometimes we don't even know how to be with it. It's just like, can we not talk about what happened in the past? We're living the moment now. Let's create a different future. But we don't realize you ignore the past, you create the same thing in the future. Because what you're running from, you run to. So, yeah.
Right. That's exactly right.
That's great.
So how all that unseen truth in the Bob world gets somehow re-expressed in the Bart world is there's a lot there to pay attention to and to learn from and to grow with. And I'm just really grateful and excited about the work that we're doing together and for people to join us in that exploration.
And you're going to be doing some things that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But I wanted to ask this question. When we open up to the possibility of Bob and Bart coming together, what is possible?
Well, the first thing I think of is greater clarity and energy and fun at work, where it doesn't have to take over our whole life. It's a wonderful addition to the way we participate in the world, but it's not all of our lives.
Because sometimes people use work to avoid family or to find meaning, to find belonging.
That's right.
To kind of find balance in their life. So they're overcompensating and they come back stressed. So this work, I just don't have time for myself. I'm working. Okay, that's one way of looking at it anyway.
Yeah. And the thing that pops up for me is what a wonderful discovery. You know, it's part of. So part of the gift of what we're doing is, I think the work that Kate and I are from our respective fields and who we are, I think it's new. That the work that we're doing, there's a newness to it, there's a new perspective that, you know, check back with us in a year. And we'll tell you more what we're learning by the groups that we're working with. So far, the people we've worked with, just that lens, just having the kind of conversation that we've had just in this last hour, seems to be providing a pretty immediate sense of relief and release of energy. Just to be able to think about, as Kate said, to be able to think about work and life in a new way, there seems to be a pretty profound, consistent trance, I would say, about these things that we're talking about. You know, there's a real, the emphasis in the States is so much on work. It is so much on work. There's a lot of amnesia about the kind of certainly larger histories in family life that are behind all of us in one way or another. And that amnesia exists in part because there are circumstances in family histories and in our country's history that were overwhelming at the time. And the overwhelm gets passed on and passed on and passed on. And so there can be a trance of, like you said, you know, I'm just not going to think about this. I'm not going to focus on this. I'm just going to focus on this other area because there's some, you know, illusion of control that people think that they have, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, out of not able to have control over circumstances that have already happened. So there, you know, the power of naming what is really persistent, and both Kate and I, in our own respective work lives and then in the work we do together, have quite a developed capacity for just naming what is and seeing that to be the significant contribution that it is. And so the effect of that is quite exciting, you know, that when we name what is and we release ourselves from the idea that we have to do more than that, mm-hmm. if we think that we think that, you know, the expectation we have of ourselves and one another, we don't see how hard we are on ourselves. We don't see mm-hmm. how much we expect of ourselves and each other. It's too much most of the time. It's just not realistic. So to be able to just, okay, we're gonna name what is and trust that's exactly the thing to be doing right now. Mm-hmm. And that will have an effect, and we don't know what that effect is going to be, but we know that there's a cost and there's an effect by not naming what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're quite confident in our place of being able to know that just naming truth and naming what is maybe that's enough, and that we trust mm-hmm. in each person's life and in each person, in each group and in each workplace setting, that from that place there makes possible new possibilities and new configurations that I just think, you know, if we don't do it now, when are we going to do it?
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Wow. I want to ask you a question, but I want to say this because I said earlier at the beginning of the show, the conversation about a mess and message. And for me, as I listen to you, it's like when we name what is and say, this is a mess. This is a mess. Let's just confront it. That's when we get the message. Like, wait a minute. So the mess is always in the message. The message is in the mess. And I always say, when we name the mess, we can receive the message, and then we can become the messenger to be able to say, look what happened when I hung out with Bob. I realized Bob wasn't so bad after all. I feel like I belong. I feel like my life is in order. I am just living in balance. And it seems so simple. The whole thing, when we have this conversation, it's like, it is so simple. But I want to ask you this. We got time to squeeze this in. Now, for me, how I've been listening to this is when you embrace Bob and Bart, the belonging, order and balance, and boundaries, authority, role and task. When we put those two together, what happens? How does this look in the short amount of time that we have? How do we work with this for those of us who are self-employed, who don't go out in a group? We may talk to people on the phone, but we don't go out and not always around people. How does that work? How can we identify what needs to be named?
That's a great question. I have a thought, but I want to check with you, Kate, too, if you want to.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, my first thing to say is has to do with power and how whether a person works for themselves or works in a larger system, that one's true sense of power comes from receiving life from their parents.
Mm.
So, you know, that allowing that receiving of life from one's parents, coming into greater clarity of belonging as a son or as a daughter, if one works by themselves, provides a kind of a clarity about how to navigate and how to, I'm going to let Kate talk about this more, but this being the authority in one's own life,
mm-hmm.
Be clear, you know, if I'm working by myself and I'm not receiving life fully from my parents, then I'm going to be functioning in my work life trying to recruit other people
mm-hmm.
to be my mom, to be my dad.
Mm.
I'm not going to be in my full power. I'm going to be looking for my parents everywhere else. Because there's this wisdom that operates in the soul that knows how important parents are, that knows how important grandparents are.
Right.
And so that's just a little bit that comes to me. Kate, anything else you want to say?
Well, I think you raise a really good point, because on the, you know, one of the things we talk about on the website is that this is Bob and Bart are a pathway to love, to power, love, and work. And you distinguish power from authority, and that's really important, because whether you're working in an organization or you're working for yourself, you need to be able to, integrate and work with the power that comes from you as a person, and know the difference between that and when you've been authorized in a particular role in an organization. That's very different. It's temporary. It can shift. But power comes from the core self, and it is rooted, absolutely, as Lisa says, in the life that we receive and in the soul of love that comes, the love that comes through the soul of our family. That's where our power comes from, essentially. Authority is very different. And people may misuse and abuse authority in the workplace or, you know, in the world, but that does not have the capacity to take away our power, which cannot be taken from us. But we give it away. We give it away in the workplace all the time when we're not clear about our place in the family. So the only way to really work with power, which is essential if you're going to take up leadership, is to be rooted in your family. And then you can distinguish how to work, how to take up authority when it's been given to you, and bring your power into that role, because it will energize the role.
Yes.
And you can lay down authority then when you need to, and without giving up your power, if you are rooted in your family, if you understand that you received life from your parents and that love moves through the soul of your family.
Good Lord, I'm such a nerd, because I'm loving this. It's like, oh my God, this is great information. I'm just like, oh, give me some more. I am officially a nerd. I'm listening to this and inside I'm just jumping. Oh my God, I so get it. You know, people used to say, I'm a nerd. Not me, they took hold of something. And I never really understood what they meant. And then one day I realized, I said, this is what people mean. As you, I don't want you to stop. It's like, yes. And then I'm thinking, power versus force. When you're in your power, you don't have to force anybody. You can just show up and let me calm down. I'm such a nerd. It's official. That's one of my new titles. Okay. We got some time to, I know we're coming to end, but we can Lisa, if you're anything you want to add before we release the show, and Kate. But I also want you both, or Lisa, okay. You got a conference call coming up tomorrow, right? Tomorrow, Thursday, May 28th, 2015, right? And retreat. So tell us about that. Let listeners know about what you're up to.
Thank you so much. So if people go to the website, bobandbart.com, all the information about the program that we're offering, we've got a 10-month series that begins in the fall, in the Seattle area, that the conference call tomorrow night will be telling people more about that series. We'll be talking more about Bob and Bart. The details on how to register for the call are on the bobandbart.com website, and as well as just a lot more information about everything we've been talking about today. So the timing of it is 7 p.m. Pacific time. The call will also be recorded, so that if people want to, send an email and ask for a link to the recording, it's free. The call is free, and to receive the audio recording is free as well. So if they can't listen live, they can, for the next weeks, request a recording of the call.
Mm-hmm. Kate, anything you want to add to that?
No, I think that's spot on. The only thing that occurs to me is I'm thinking about the comment from Tracy, and I'm thinking that on this call we do tomorrow, it's possible to certainly bring with you your questions about your organizational life. We may not have time to do much analysis, but we can certainly ask questions that might lead you to resolve your own dilemmas.
Yes, yes.
From this and Bob Bart perspective.
Right. And so, Tracy and other listeners, the website address once again is bobandbart.com. That's BOBANDBART.com. And when you get to that website, click on intro sessions. You'll see all the details. There are some hyperlinks to give you more information, session details, and registration. And so, phone tomorrow, Thursday, May 28th. I keep wanting to say March 28th. Yeah, that's one of the best days of the year, March 28th. I just love that day. I don't know why, but it's just a special day. But anyway, it's such the best day ever. But it's not March. It's May 28th, 2015. That's 7 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific time. And that's bobandbart.com and click on intro session. But read the other things as well. You can find out about who Bob and Bart is and how they can change your life. Oh, my God. Lisa, any closing comments? And Kate, before we release the show.
Just deep gratitude. Thank you both so much.
Yes.
You've been a great host, and I've really enjoyed being with you today. Thank you.
It's so nice to have you. Thank you both. We appreciate you. It is time to release the show. And I want to tell you, you can find out more about Lisa by going to her website. It's ancestralblueprints.com. And to find out more about Kate Regan, her website address is Kairos. Let me spell it, K-A-I-R-O-S, consultinggroup.com. You can find out more about their work. And to find out about this joint venture, go to bobandbart.com. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. And remember, I don't care what they look like. I don't care where they live. I don't care if they're poor or rich, a different religion, or whatever. They don't believe in what you believe in. They don't even believe in God. We are one. And if you refuse to see that, they will continue to reflect you back to yourself. So you better hang out with Bob and Bart so you can feel free. It's time to release the show. Carly Jackson, we are one. Love you, love you, love you. See you live on Monday with Brother Ishmael Tete. We're going to continue the conversation talking about ancestral healing. Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern. Peace and blessings. And when I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. We are.
Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I know now that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, we are
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.